You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link,
do
something.
That'll do. That'll perfect.
Ay, papi! Let's go.
Let's go.
Vamos. Here we are. Another Prem show, the last one of 2020. And 2020 was the year the Prem show was created. Thank you. We're here on Twitch. John Soul just followed us. What? It's lit right now, okay?
Bruh, this is exactly what we all had planned when 2020 started. We said, hey, the world's going to stop for 9 months, probably longer. But we're going to get a Twitch show out of it. So, exactly. All good.
You know what? Yeah, so exactly. You know, the pandemic brought us just an immeasurable sadness, countless deaths, but it also brought us the Prem show, okay? So we got some positives out of it. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening to this podcast, this is the Prem show. This is taped live on Twitch every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We got the crew in the chat bringing the heat, bringing the fire.
It's the funniest chat in all of Twitch.
Without a doubt.
Every other one is like, great kill, bro, you know? Not us.
Look, I love how you, crush that brick in Super Mario. Nah,
yeah. Oh, man. Wow, another goal with Kevin De Bruyne. You're the best.
Yeah, no, it's a little different out here because if you were listening to this podcast, you missed out on Dickbot, all right? What a shame. Shame for you.
You would miss out on things like Jaren putting Christian, spelling it with X-T-I-A-N. Looks like a cartoon that just got electrocuted. You would miss that.
You would miss that. What a shame for you. So join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. eltwitch.com. Go to it. It's the dopest website out there. It has everything you need. I think I've heard it's about to usurp Amazon.com. All right.
Yo, also, I just found out it's pronounced usurp instead of usurp or usurp. Here's the best thing about it is that it's not even really on Twitch. It's on Twitch, right? Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden, Twitch Sports showed up in our chat and we thought we were getting in trouble. Turns out they were telling us exactly where to go and what format to use and whatnot. But wait till El Duce Deportes shows up.
Okay, that's right. Oh, I love this. Chip was taken. Just said, I just packed nutmeg in FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yo, what's that card look like? Val Yeezy just put uslurp.com. All right, they're very different. Yo, buy that. Buy that URL and bring it here. People going to be big mad.
I have a feeling it is taken. That's just me, though. Diego.
People are going to be like, when is the cute one with the big hair going to take a shirt off? That's going to be the chat.
Diego 2011 said, I missed the braids, Christian. Thank you, man. I mean, look, I'm trying to figure out what the next move is going to be. I don't know. My hair is getting obviously very long. Almost David Luiz levels. Is getting
you're gonna have
there.
To put it in. You're gonna have to get a hair product or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to figure out. Like, it's gonna have to be managed. I can do a kind of a top bun. You see it over here a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can start doing that. But whatever.
You look like the dude from Last Dragon. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes,
it's like the cheesiest movie.
I mean, it was
Shownuff.
Bruce Leroy, but Shownuff was the guy. Yeah, Bruce Leroy was the main guy. Anyway. All right, this is where we talk about everything but soccer.
Justin Freeberg said that I'm trying to get into witness protection with that hat. I love me some hats, but I haven't worn a hat forever.
Okay. All right. Well, now you look like an 80s character in like a surfing show.
This is how I wear my hats. I know this upsets people, but other people are now wearing their hats like this, so you're welcome. You know what it is? It's like with the hat on, I look like I'm bald, right? And I need to show that hairline, let you play as no, I still got it, you know?
Okay. Keeps.com. Keep your...
Dogmastine said, this episode brought to you by Talisman Caps.
That's right. Oh, my God. I have probably about 15... Talisman caps.
Yeah, dude. They did our hats. Yeah, they did our Cooligans hat. Buy them. I think we still have a few left.
That's right. On the volleyapparel.com/Cooligans. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss in some Premier League stuff.
Colo Blanco is here, the greatest mod in the business, and he says, El Pibe Polanco.
That's right.
Ebibalanco.
Trar 17, thank you for the follow. Very much appreciated. Maybe we'll get to 800 today. Who knows?
Justin Freeberg said the Cooligans rebranding to Alexis and the Fro. we're becoming like a 90s morning radio show.
there's a play of a FIFA Ultimate Team card. Diego, thank you so much for...
Whoa, Chip was taken, just gifted a bunch of subs.
Whoa, I see a bunch. How many we got here? We almost got 5 subs. All right, so we have 6 total, so 4 more for Nutmeg to get a treat. So let's go. Let's go to Nutmeg Cam and see what he's up to.
Look at him.
Not much has changed.
Wait a minute.
He hears me talking about him.
He's like, wait. No one told me it was. I didn't get a call sheet. What time am I supposed to start?
He's just like, he's doing the blocking. He's like, wait, where am I supposed to be exactly?
I can't do this without my acting coach. Shouts to David from Tampa. Yo, we're getting a bunch of great subs. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Well, this was Chip. This was all thanks to Chip. Thank you.
Oh,
so
yeah, that one came from Chip. I'm just seeing it late. Yeah. Thank you so much. Chip was taken.
Nutmeg is chilling. Oh, wait. I think he sees the Furbo at the top. He might go after it.
He might beat the shit out of that Furbo.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care where you are. Let me see if it looks like he's probably going to be getting up. I hope not. We'll see. Anyway, Bruno, thank you so much for the follow. All right. So what I was going to say was that there is a card on FIFA Ultimate Team where is it? Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I don't think I have. I need a recent one. But there's one that I saw that I'm like, yo, my hair looks exactly like this dude. He's a Brazilian guy. His name is Luis Gustavo. But I can't find.
Where does he play?
He plays in Marseille.
Okay.
So let me. I'm using Bing to find it. It's not.
Hey, we Bing, and you know how we do here. Bing, give us money. Ain't no one else talking about you.
I can't find the latest card.
Robert from LA just put up a Bing link. Oh, it's a wrestler. I think his name is Carlito.
Luis. Oh, it's with a Z. Luis Gustavo, where's the...
Hilarious.
Damn, I can't find his...
Bro, you know how we do. We Bing out here, baby.
I can't find his damn card. Here it is. This is what his card looks like. But this is pretty much... I see this, and I'm like, yo, this...
This is you. This is you pretty- if you drank the way I would try to get you to drink. This is you.
So not much of a difference, right? I mean, you're looking at both. That
guy's using hair product, though. We got to get a little shine on you, my
G. Okay. Please put some suggestions in the chat. How do you manage a fro? Because I'm learning.
You got to let your soul glow, my dude.
But Diego said, stop using Bing. It's easier to have Chrome and Bing and Microsoft Edge because I have a ton of tabs open in Chrome and it's whatever. Anyway, I'll figure that
Plus,
out.
Plus, we Bing boys out here, son.
what you know, it's Bing boys.
Yeah, double B's, yo. No one clipped that. We're going to get shot.
Okay, so obviously, let us know in the chat if there's anything you think we should talk about Premier League related. Alexis, where should we begin?
Let's start with the controversy everyone's talking about, which is this this person talking about Leeds getting promoted. I don't know her name. I put it in the Slack. I should probably pull it up.
That's right. So this led to a lot of people retweeted it. This was a...
But apparently England has gone absolutely insane because of the sentiment, which maybe it was badly worded, maybe, but she basically says she thinks Leeds only got promoted, that Leeds got promoted because of COVID. She said because it afforded them a long break.
Karen Carney. Okay.
Karen Carney.
Yeah, Board Martin. Thank you for the name. So, okay. So this is, I think, an interesting discussion that I think... I can understand the nuance of people saying, why did Leeds United. So if anybody didn't see it, actually, let me just play it. Let me just play it so you can get an idea, and then we can, you can weigh in. Okay, so you heard what she said. She basically said they wouldn't have, they got promoted because of COVID, and she doesn't think that they could have gotten promoted without having that break, because they would have been basically like gassed at the end of the season and wouldn't be able to close it.
Which isn't true, because they're probably the most physically capable club in the best possible shape. But hold on, if she would have said that, they got promoted because of a break afforded to them because of COVID. To say they only got promoted because of COVID, that's pissing everyone off. It's obviously a sensitive subject for a reason. A lot of people are dying. Most of them in this country, not England, but still, I get that they're upset about it. Really, England, it's our thing. Right? but I get the point. But like, a break for an athlete, technically, if she would have just said that, she wouldn't have been wrong. A break for any club is a positive, because you get injuries are rehealed, you know.
So the point, and I think where this was coming from, the context behind it, was that Bielsa teams, because they are so they put on so much pressure, and they're incredibly active, and yes, they are fit, but they did miss out on promotion the previous year because they were kind of gassed, right? They lost to Derby County in the playoff. When they were doing pretty well throughout the season, but they couldn't close it out. So that is, I can understand where that is coming from. The issue people are having is specifically with the Leeds account, the main account,
posting this,
and we do know
it's essentially dunking on her by posting this.
And to Leeds's credit, they have done this with other journalists in the past. This is a ongoing joke that they repost any tweets from journalists, anybody, male. They've only done it with, to my knowledge, other male pundits. They keep the receipts, and then they're like, "Let's make fun of them when we're successful,"
which is fair to some degree, right? Because they get a lot of shit. So and you're like, it's a little bit of retribution you get. In this situation, it seems a little rude.
So the issue here is, and everybody who's been on the internet for 5 minutes knows that if a woman does anything on the internet, there will be criticism, positive or negative. People will find something. So the amount of simply, negativity, the sexism that she is receiving, the abuse that she's receiving, is if people feel that Leeds is basically putting a target on her by doing this. And you can say like that there might be a double standard here, where like if we make fun of a dude, people would just be like, oh, Gary Lineker, what a dummy or something.
And if you literally just said that at any point of any day, you're mostly right. Gary Lineker probably did or said something to make him look like an idiot at that moment.
Yeah, and so the issue here is that it feels a little bit, I'm not going to say
it's inviting other people to dunk. Yeah,
without a doubt. I mean, dunking in a different way that they would not dunk on a dude. That's the main thing. And so
they should have put this up with no comments allowed. That would have been great.
Sure. The issue here is,
or better, I should say, not great.
the issue here is like that. Leeds has not deleted it, so they obviously don't feel like they did anything wrong. They weren't trying to. There's nothing. They didn't say anything negative to her.
Yeah, they didn't finish the tweet with "get him, get him, fellas." Yeah.
Okay, it's not a fucking like Barstool tweet, bro. Like it's different. But it seems like there should have been some thought behind it. And maybe if they see like how people are treated, like it's literally under this tweet, people are saying a bunch of fucked up shit. Maybe it's like maybe we should delete this, because it's like we're inviting.
I don't see a fault, and I agree with you. I don't see a fault with posting it, although you probably should have been a little bit smarter and kind of anticipated this. I don't see a problem with her saying it, even though I know there's some sensitivity to just the word COVID, because it seems like, oh, this horrific disease helped you, and that's clearly not what she's saying.
Yeah.
It afforded you the gap. So I don't think she's wrong. I don't think they're wrong for posting it, because this is what they do. the part that's wrong here is the moment you see the replies getting out of hand, that's when you're like, oh, this ain't what we want. You delete that joint and you put out a tweet saying, that's fucked up. Don't treat women this way. Don't treat reporters this way. Yeah. We're simply joking about, you know, we're pulling the receipts on someone saying something that we thought was wrong. Not an excuse for you to say horrific shit to this person. Yeah. And I think that's what you do. And I think everyone would be like, I bet. Maybe there's a little question about whether you should have or shouldn't have. And then maybe we'll all have different ideas here. But I do like the idea of like, well, she's a reporter and a pundit. And if something she said was wrong, treat her with the same respect you would anyone else. And yeah, but the moment it starts to go awry, if this was a black reporter who said this and the tweet started getting real racist, delete that motherfucking tweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and ban those people that say that shit.
Yeah. Look, Char 17 said, if they've done this to other pundits, I feel it's fair. And that, and it's not necessarily about fairness, because I think Leeds meant no harm. But the reality of the world that we live in and the, you know, I hate to be like...
It's what you do after it.
Yeah, well, I hate to be like, look, they have a platform and they have to... It's not even necessarily that. It's just like that every choice that you make kind of either invites positivity or negativity into your bubble and into your world. And they should be a little bit more mindful of that. This is simply... The way I think of it is like if a comedian is... If they have a joke... And what is the intention of the joke? Who's the target of the joke? Look, if it was me, if I was running the Leeds account, I personally would not. I would. It's not that I necessarily wouldn't tweet this, but I would probably figure out what point I was trying to make, because the tweet just says promoted because of COVID, and then, you know, emojis and stuff. And then it's high prime video sport, right? And it's very like cheeky and like silly and not really saying anything. It's just like, hey, look how wrong this lady is. And I'm not even gonna say that saying look how wrong this lady is. I think it's just saying like look how wrong this person is. But a team account and every social media person, you know, and other people who work in social media for soccer teams have said the same thing, that they were like, this is not the way the club should be representing itself.
Also, you don't want to necessarily have this. And I think Perfect Tommy just said the same thing. I wouldn't want that negativity associated with my club. If you want to be the club that is condescendingly retweeting and reposting stuff that people have said when they were wrong or you proved them wrong, I don't mind that, because I do think that that adds fan engagement. But what's the fan engagement you want? I think what's wrong is the tweet is still up. We just pulled it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you see horrific shit going down, like, you can make a decision with the best intentions. And when you see that, like even when you write a joke, sometimes you write it and you're like, no, but it's like ironic and sarcastic.
Yeah.
But then you see the wrong people laugh at that joke or laughing at it at the wrong time. You're like, all right, maybe I should reword this joke. I'm going to pull this joint back.
And we've all been there, right? You've had jokes where people are laughing for the wrong reasons. Well, you want them to laugh, but you're like, I remember I used to do a joke about.
The one where you did the Asian accent. No, I'm joking. You never did that.
Where I pulled my... Yeah, no. No. There was a joke I used to do about Obama and comparing him to Jesus, and it was like about Obamacare. And when I did that tour, that bike tour in Ohio. I was in what I forgot what town or what city. It was like Southern Ohio. Or whatever.
You said Ohio. I'm
yeah,
jokes.
But Southern Ohio and Northern Ohio are basically, you know, one is Kentucky and one is, you know, just a much more cosmopolitan, right? And I used to do a joke about Obama and Obamacare and like comparing him to like Jesus. And in liberal cities, people would be like, "Oh, the irony of that." In conservative cities, they would be like, yeah, Obama sucks. Ha ha, thank you for making fun of him. And I'm like, bro, that's not what this is.
So, and that's the thing that's, and I think a lot of, sometimes non-comedians get involved in this type of conversation. And they're like, no, but like, you know, you don't understand, you know, comedians didn't mean that comic didn't mean that. Well, that's true, and thank you for defending comedy as an art form and our right to say whatever we want. Comedians understand when you say something, the way we word it specifically for the audience reaction. So if you're not getting the reaction you want, you need to reword that joke. And I think that goes back to, thank you, Christian, for rewording it. I don't know why you put that Chinese accent in it. No, it's got nothing to do with Obama.
Robert from LA just said, wow, Christian touring with the Hells Angels. No, it was a cycling tour, not a motorcycle tour.
It was the Purgatory's Angels.
Yes, if people don't, this was in 2013 or 2014. I rode a bicycle from Cincinnati to Cleveland, and I did 8 comedy shows along the way. It was called the Laugh Strong comedy tour, and it was the worst.
It should have been called the Numb Taint tour.
Accurate, man.
Yeah, why can't I feel my balls tour?
No, but it was the shows were fun. There was like 2 shows that weren't that fun. The one show that I did that was what. What town was that? I can't remember what part of Ohio. It was
Lorain?
No. It was
Akron?
No, it was south of Akron. It was like a little south of Kent, Ohio. Because we did a show like at Kent State.
Dog Mustaine actually says something pretty cool. He said comedians simultaneously talk about how comedy is important but shouldn't be subject to the same scrutiny as the rest of society because it's just jokes. Yeah. Like, and I mean, you could put some hate speech in a joke and everyone will be against you. At least good people will be against you. Good comedians with good hearts. But when and it's hard to explain, but like Mark Norman has mentioned this. Sometimes you just need certain words that fit, that have a certain cadence that equals a laugh. And you do that. And comedy, you get up and you say something to see what the reaction is before you start to reconfigure it. The problem with it is we're the only art form that practices in front of people. So when we are practicing and we're like, yeah, at the end of the day, you could be like, yeah, man, that didn't work. But someone filmed that and puts it up and everyone acts like that's exactly who you are when you're like, no, that's not what I intended. That said, there's some people that get up there and say some really disrespectful shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, you point those arrows. You know what I mean? Because you're all right.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes where like a good hearted person gets up and says something and the audience is like, and you're like, no, that's not what I meant. It's just those words fit together. And I see why you think that. And I'm not that person. I'm not going to say it anymore. And you're like, oh, it's this tough position to be in, you know?
And I remember the city. It was Worcester, Ohio.
Oh, boy.
Worcester, Ohio.
Sounds Trumpy, you know?
Without a doubt, dude. Literally, I performed at this brewery and there was a giant Jesus cross like maybe 30-40 feet in front of me. Like it was just, I'm like, what is this show gonna be like? And it was exactly what I sort of expected. The other thing I want to add to that, it's like with comedy there is a phase where you have to like grow and learn, and if you are doing that publicly. If somebody filmed my first 2 years of comedy at like open mics and stuff, the ridiculous things I said, because I don't know what's funny. I'm just trying to like learn how to do this, what the boundaries are. I don't know anything. And if somebody's like, let me film that, look at what this crazy comedian is saying. I'm like, I wouldn't have a career. Like there has to be some allowance to make a mistake. There has to be some space to make a mistake.
But that means you can't just go up there like a white comic can't go up there and yell the N-word and that be okay. It's like, you should have learned that already. That's not something you learn on stage, you know?
Yeah.
But there's times where a comic will say something and you know, it can be misconstrued later, or in text, you get rid of the inflection of their voice to let you know that was sarcastic.
Yeah.
Or it was said because of something that happened topical that gets out of a person's mind 3 years later and they read it and they're like, that's a horrific thing. And they're like, no, that was me. That was a parody of like the Alec Baldwin phone call or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't call a 12-year-old a dog. That was Alec. You know, it's like that kind of thing will come back and bite you in the ass. And you're like, that's not what I meant at all. And yeah. I don't know. I know you guys are like, isn't this a soccer show? We're getting to it.
look, this is our wheelhouse right now. Leeds United trying to do comedy. Okay. It reminds me, do you remember Brian Frangie?
Of course,
comedian is a hilarious dude. He moved out to LA, but he used to do this comedy show where he would film all the comedians, but he wouldn't post their sets or anything anywhere. He would do these clips called out of context comedy, and he would post like the punchlines with no context of, you know, in like a compilation, and it would make no sense. But you're like, the out of context, I'm like, well, that sounds really fucked up, but people are laughing like crazy. So it's like, yeah, you don't know why they're laughing or the context behind what they're saying. So that's
the weird thing. And has this ever happened to you where you write a joke and you riff like a punchline to it, a different one, and it gets a laugh and you're like, I don't know why they're laughing. I don't think this is funny at all, but everyone loves it. I have two jokes that end in something the audience absolutely loves. One of them could be my closer. And to this day, I can't figure out why people are laughing at it. By the way, on the thing, it says, Aussie AB said, just like Alexis's recent stories on Twitter, only time I've seen him on stage, a gray face for radio. Thank you very much. You're watching me right now, you jerk. And Dogmastine said, wow, I just heard Alexis call the woman a dog. Not true. That was I was making a reference. And Chip was taken said, hashtag Alexis too. Damn,
bro,
son.
They're coming after you, bro. The Twitch chat. It's literally, I thought you were with us.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, huh? Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's
booty pick sandwich.
Dan, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, home wrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague, very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now. We were talking about breweries. I just wanted to give a shout out. I don't know if Freddie's still here. Freddie Alarcón, shout out to Gully Squad member Freddie. He sent me this. It says from Sideward Brewing. It's cider.
Yeah. He asked me, what beer does Christian like? And I said, none. He likes cider, except Heineken.
So thank you so much, Freddie. We have like the kindest fans, and they're so supportive and kind. Send me a bunch of cider. Send me some Hefeweizens as well.
Very nice.
And a couple lagers. I'm iffy on those, but we'll see. We'll see how this is. So I'm going to try this here for the first time. This is the first one I'm drinking. Well, Giant says, will he actually drink it though? Christian likes his beer to taste como un juego. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Just candy. I'm a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Love me a cider. Aussie AB said, love me a cider. It doesn't conflict with the gout. That's good. That's important.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, man. Mm. I was voted in high school most likely to have gout. That was my thing. Don't laugh at that.
Just the superlative right there in the yearbook. Yeah.
You have a superlative? Did you have a superlative either eighth grade or high school?
No, my high school, it was a small school. So we all I think there were less than 30 graduating students. So all we did was create our own page for our yearbook. Like we put our own pictures and stuff like that. And I don't think I put some quote. I got to find it. I think I might have put something from like Conan O'Brien or something really stupid or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like something comedy related. But I wasn't, you know, known as like the funny guy or anything.
My quote was, so they ask you your nickname and I put genius. And my quote was, anyone can make him cry. It takes a genius to make him laugh. So the joke was, I'm the genius.
Okay.
And the person who did the editing didn't get it. So they just switched my nickname to Alex. So now it just looks like a poignant statement. And by the way, no one called me Alex. And I'm like, no, man, I was trying to make a stupid joke. But my superlative in eighth grade, I went to the school for 2 years because I got kicked out of my other one. Yeah. 2 years. They didn't do superlatives. They did the imagine if, and it was supposed to be the opposite of you, right? Mine, my one was like, the girl who did it, her name was Nancy, and she was a ballerina. And they're like, imagine Nancy didn't dance so gracefully. Fuck out of here. She wrote that herself. You know what she wrote about? Like, Joe was the tallest kid. Imagine Joe wasn't so tall, right? For me, it was, and I'm not making this up, imagine Alexis took anything seriously. Wow, yo.
Okay, so basically, so you haven't changed, I see, you know?
No, I've been this person legitimately since day one. But imagine, yo, took anything seriously? Damn, yo, I was hurt.
Okay, I want to point this out. Thank you, Bauer Zero, because I forgot to add this to the list, but... Bauer Zero said, whoever doesn't believe Messi is the GOAT, sending personalized beer to keepers for every goal he scored is all the proof you need. Did everyone see this? Budweiser sending a personalized beer.
With the number on it of the goal that Messi scored against them. So Messi had scored 640-something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, like Buffon gets like number 622 and number 438. You know, it's incredible. I wonder who got number one.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, is there a list anywhere? I don't
Chip
think there
was taken said, Nancy is a dog, quote by Alexis. I never said that. In fact, Nancy's a very nice person. And from what I hear, a very graceful dancer. Do not
also,
put that on
Nancy
it.
Could be the name of a dog. And why, if you're talking about a dog, then it's a perfectly valid statement.
Yeah, 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 but I wasn't. I was talking about someone who I know very well or knew back then.
Jeff T617, thank you so much for the follow. Yes.
Chip was thinking, said, imagine if Alexis didn't call Nancy a dog. This is ridiculous. You guys are going to get us canceled. I hope you all join Gully Squad then, because if we get canceled, we don't need Gully Squad.
Yeah, so there have been there's obviously a bunch of photos of Messi, of different goalkeepers. Kepa Arrizabalaga with Arrizabalaga, like Hilario Baldwin would say, as 523.
She's from the Boston part of Spain.
Yeah, so a good... just props to them, to the marketing campaign. Bauer Zero said Raul Valbuena got number one. Okay,
that's
cool.
Kind of a that's like a what's a keepsake? Well, like what's the word I'm looking for here? That's like a commemorative piece.
A memento.
Yeah, a memento. More than that, it's like expensive, dude. I'd sell that shit for a lot of money.
Yeah, his first Barcelona goal. Yeah,
Jaron wants to know, why does Polanco have safe search off? You know,
I don't.
They're showing you all the goals Messi scored, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay, he's nutmegged quite a few people.
Yo, speaking of nutmeg, Chip Was Taken just gifted out another like four or five subs.
Five
subs.
Thank you, Chip Was Taken. Incredible. And we reached our sub goal of 100. Look at this. Unbelievable. Let's go back to Nutmeg Cam. Let's give him a treat. Let's give Nutmeg a treat.
Let's see him get up. What is the thing that we're seeing at the bottom?
That is just a bowl of water.
Okay. I think because of the pulsing, it looks like there's a light attached to it.
No. Okay, so let's do this.
Thank you, Lums, everyone who's subscribed because of Chip Was Taken. This is amazing.
This is I believe I'm gonna be tossing out either turkey or fish. I don't remember. Okay, so let's toss Nutmeg a treat. It's going out. Let's see. He hears it.
He does not know where it's coming
from.
There it is.
There it is. A bunch fell out. There it
Ooh.
Is.
All right. There you go, baby. I think one got in the bowl.
He's going to get it. All right. Amazing. Thank you, Chip, for making that happen. I know.
Look how excited he was.
He really is into it. Yeah, we got him this new thing, basically like a hamster like a ball, but like a sort of like a hamster wheel type thing. But you basically put treats in it, and it's obviously a circle, and it has a hole in it, and the treats come out of it as he. So he's you know how he's been beating up the Furbo, but he does the same thing with this ball, and he has to get the treats that come out of this almost like a little maze.
Chip was taken to Alexis is buying Nancy a Furbo for her birthday.
Oh, Nancy.
She's a very nice person from what I remember. This is horrific.
Dogmas Dean said those are good. Yes, thank you. We're trying to figure it all out. Thank you. Chip was taken with the subs, with the gifts, and quite possibly
the funniest comment of the day. That was fucking amazing.
He also asked, "Is that a fish shotgun?" Yeah, I guess it was definitely kind of a spread shot. All right,
is he trying to beat it up?
No. He's been. What am I looking for? No, he's been fine. No, he hasn't gone up there. So that's been good.
Okay. Because look at that. We solved it.
A couple weeks ago, maybe like 2 months ago, he actually jumped on top of the crate, which was like kind of scary because then he can jump out of the actual pen.
Right.
So he hasn't done that again. And he could easily do it this time. So I'm glad he hasn't.
Did you give him a pow pow or you don't do that?
I don't do that. You have to use positive reinforcement with dogs, and then when they do something bad, you just have to ignore it and basically not reward them, and that's how they learn to not do that.
Okay.
All right, now I'm glad I could teach everybody the little I know about dogs. yeah. Okay, well, let's move on.
Let's give a shout out to DeAndre Yedlin, who went 90 minutes for Newcastle United. Not bad.
If he got 1 minute, we would give him a shout out too.
Yeah, dude, he's been struggling, but it's a 0-0 draw against a very big team.
And he played pretty well. Liverpool had obviously they played against Newcastle, and they probably should have won this game. But Newcastle did just enough. Actually, my favorite moment from this game was the butt. Did you see the butt?
So I didn't get a chance to watch this match because I was doing Jonathan Morvay's podcast.
Okay.
Shouts to him. It's a good one. It's called How'd It Go? It used to be where he would link two people up to go on a date, and then he would interview each of them separately about that date. It's kind of a cool podcast. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, you can't do that. So now he's talking to people who've had very long relationships.
I'm doing it on Thursday.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We unearthed a lot, and I think my wife and I have called it quits. No, I'm kidding. It was great. It was cool. It was really cool. So I didn't get to watch this. So what exactly happened, and why is my man's ass out?
So I didn't. So if you haven't seen it, obviously, what's the dude's name? I think it's Dawson, or maybe I think that's the keeper's name. But if you haven't seen it, this is Newcastle and Liverpool, and they are, as you can see, this is the center back. I guess he fell on his butt or something. Fabian Shaw, that's his name. Darlow is the keeper. And he's getting rehabbed. He's getting, you know, some sort of injury. I think they're using the magic spray.
I was going to say, is it the magic spray or is he getting a deep tissue butt rub? Because honestly, I don't want to stand on that pitch, on that section of the pitch.
Everything is great here because everybody has their own reaction. Like, obviously, the physio's like has the most concern.
It's like a Renaissance painting.
Look at Dawson. He's like, ugh, okay. Oh, fam, what's this about? Okay.
The official. Got a giggle going, you know.
I'm watching the game, and I'm like, I have it on one monitor, and I'm doing something on the other monitor, and then
you flex and you got two monitors.
Oh, two monitors, bro! Can you believe it?
I bought one of those 48-inch joints, a 49-inch, actually.
How's that going?
Dude, it's too big for my desk. I had to get a new desk.
I told you. but I look over. I'm, like, working, and then I look over, and I'm like, what the hell just happened? So I didn't see what he did or what happened that got him in this position. There's no scenario that you expose your butt on a globally televised Premier League match that not everyone in the world is going to see. What I so I don't know what he thought. Aussie AB said that's a man bun, not buns. Okay,
he's a lot of man buns on this image right here.
People are saying
Fabian Cheeks Char just was taken.
So this was. The game in itself was, essentially Newcastle hoping Liverpool will not score. This was essentially the highlight or low light, depending on how interested in butts you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, Newcastle, you didn't expect too much as far. The fact that they were able to defend against Liverpool, and Liverpool drew two matches in a row. They are points that they probably should have gotten. Look, we should talk about the game against West Brom, the late goal that they gave up. West Brom, they get a point, Sam Allardyce's first point, but then lose 5-0 to Leeds in their next match.
But Leeds is specifically set up to beat your team if you are sitting back. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're specifically set up to beat Sam Allardyce's team.
Jack Harrison scored a goal, but I didn't see the goal. People were saying it was dope.
Was dope. It was a little late in the game. I think it was like the fourth or fifth goal, but still, it was amazing. It was an incredible goal.
I gotta make sure to check it out. So, I mean, if we look at when we started talking about DeAndre Yedlin, DeAndre Yedlin is rumored to be going back to MLS. That's the last.
They've been talking about that, but it hasn't happened. But I think a lot of MLS clubs are making a lot of moves right now. A lot of clubs are freeing up a lot of space. So
I think he can still play in the Premier League. It's just that Newcastle, he's playing on a bad team. I mean, that's just really the problem. I mean, he was at Tottenham before, didn't really get any minutes. And at Newcastle, he's just
NYCFC just got rid of their left back.
Left back or right back?
He could play both.
Can he?
He does primarily play right back, though, for Newcastle.
So we'll see what the future sort of holds for him. I want to see him play more. I see we have a current poll about Char's cheek. Was it a highlight or low light?
Yo, thank you so much, Philly Rican. Came back just to gift a sub. Let's go.
All right. I guess that Zoom call ended. Shouts to Zoom. Okay. Next up, you want to just take a quick look at the table, right? Liverpool is at the top, 33 points. Oh, I keep forgetting. When we get a sub, we go to Nutmeg. All right, Nutmeg went into.
Is that his little butt sticking out of the cage?
He's doing little, char butt.
Yeah, he's doing a little char. He's like, where's my magic spray?
So he's chilling in there, as you can see. Hopefully he'll come back out and say hello. Board Martin said Nutmeg is on strike. we took out the bed in there so that he would get more comfortable being inside the crate, because he gets like scared and he doesn't want to be inside the crate, even though it's like perfectly fine. There's like nothing wrong with it. He just doesn't like to be like enclosed in such a small space. But we may need to, if we ever like are out for hours, we can't just leave him running around because he'll go nuts. The table. Liverpool first, Manchester United second, Leicester City.
So hold on, somebody said this in the chat. I forgot who it was. I think it was Justin Freeberg. He said he wants to talk about Manchester United being in second with a game in hand, which, yes, very important.
Yes.
Right? And it's a great comeback from right. What...
Perfect Tommy, thank you for gifting a sub.
Another one.
To A. Matty G.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Manchester United with 15 games played, sitting at 30 points. Liverpool 33 with 16 games played. So a win can put them back in position. But it's... one of the questions that I have for us to talk about is, can Manchester United, will they finish in the top four as opposed to can they win the league? Because even though they are in this position and a lot of credit, they deserve a lot of credit, who really trusts them? Who has confidence in them to continue to play well? You know, they drew against, I forgot who their last draw, the most recent was actually a win, but they drew before that. You know, look, they're certainly playing well, banging on all cylinders. But do we really know who Manchester United is? And if, the thing is, if they settle down, they're in title contention.
I think they are very much they'll be in the top four. I mean, look, the one team, like, I even seeing Aston Villa in fifth, you know, Chelsea in sixth. Like, there's been a couple just bad games. I mean, Chelsea, they lost to Everton. They lost to Wolves. In the last game they drew against Aston Villa. Like, there's consistency from basically 6 to 10 that you sort of expect. Like, they have these teams have some deeper rosters, and you figure by the time the Champions League knockout round is back, that these teams will, you know, there'll be some, like, some better run of form. But
how about Tottenham's last win was the one against Arsenal?
Yeah.
Wasn't how that crazy
great?
Is that?
Wasn't that great?
No, it wasn't great. But listen, if we had to take an L so that you guys just consistently take L's, I'll do it.
Do we trust Manchester United? We could put it, people in the chat, let us know. How much faith do you have in Manchester United that they'll at least finish top four? I think.
All right, so Dogmanstein said, in my opinion, they keep winning now almost entirely because of the chaos that Bruno Fernandes causes. In my opinion, they'll have to get lucky to win it all this year. But if they build around Bruno, they could be the title contenders next year easy. Jaron thinks that, yeah, Manchester United will be in the top four. Here's my thing. I don't see them falling out of the top four, but either they're staying in the top four or they're going to finish like eighth. Those are the only two. I don't see them winning because I don't think there's going to be any level of consistency. Maybe there's a chance that Pogba sold in January, which I think hurts your team. I think it diminishes the quality that you at least have available to you. And I don't know if Bruno, Rashford, Wan-Bissaka, and Martial is enough to win the league. You still have Harry Maguire there.
I feel like they will. Could they win the league? I don't see. Look, I don't see the way Liverpool plays. I know they have, like, Liverpool doesn't lose. That's kind of the main thing. They just do not lose. Look, they've only lost one game this season. When you see a stat like that, you're like, they have to be the favorite, even if they're not. You know, they're dropping points here and there, but there's other teams. I mean, Leicester's lost five matches. Everton's lost four matches. Lost three. Like that level, Liverpool.
Arsenal's lost like 15. You know?
Liverpool are the most consistent team I've seen in the last like 3 years.
They're certainly not looking like they're not going to win. I think Tottenham did have some real serious title contention there for a minute. And I think so did Chelsea for a little bit, you know. But I think what we've seen out of Chelsea is it's completely collapsed. What we've seen out of Tottenham is if this slide continues, this is going to be the Tottenham of old, not the Tottenham of new. Mm-hmm. Aussie AB said Manchester United at least top four. But he also, T-Rar 17 said, will Manchester United win Europa? And I think this is where that double-edged sword of being in Europa comes from, where if you're in this second-place position, and let's say they draw the next match, they're within two of first place, right? And they're looking good. You're going to put all your eggs in the league basket. You're not going to focus so heavily on Europa, right? If there's a chance your player is a little bit injured or he has a knock, you're not going to play him in the Europa League, right? Because you're thinking, well, we're going to get Champions League anyway. And that's when you could start to see that momentum die off. Or you try to win Europa and you suffer in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is where you get these tough situations. And is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the guy to navigate all that?
And that's the point I was going to make. It's just like, I think all the chatter about Manchester United and you could Pogba this and he's not this and he's not doing the right things. And it's all, I was like, you're complaining about what? You're in second place. You have a game in hand. You're like, what is this?
I think it's the fact that it's not a steady ship, dude. Manchester United fans still remember Sir Alex Ferguson, where even if you lost, which was rare for them, you kind of like knew who didn't play well, what changes were going to be made. You know, you understood it was like a well-oiled machine, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a well-oiled Char's butt, you know? You knew what you were getting.
Ooh, okay. Now you look, and I'm imagining it, and I like what I see, right?
Justin Freeberg put hashtag Ole Teta, remember? Our Teta. Art that out.
Okay, look, a little combination of hashtags. Look, I think they are. Could they win the league? I don't think so. But I think they Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has earned the lack of the similar amount of criticism. Manchester United and let's say and the Premier League is not the same. You know, in the Sir Alex Ferguson era, they're not. It's not Barcelona, Real Madrid, exclusively where yeah. you know. That those are the teams that are that's going to be in first or second place and there's not really that much competition. There are legitimately like six or seven teams that have a real shot to win the whole thing. Everton is probably the favorite, I think there's an adjustment. I think that Manchester United fans have to make as well that this is not going to be like it used to, and we have to work a little bit harder. Like I honestly when I look at Liverpool and the fact that they every offseason they seem to bring in these incredibly strong players. Bring in Thiago is like unreal. Like the dude, he won the Champions League at Bayern, and now absolutely veteran with a lot of experience, an incredible passer, and to just join an incredible squad already that just won the Premier League and won Champions League the year prior. That's saying a lot. So it's a certain trust I think that people have in Klopp and in what Liverpool, the project that Liverpool currently has, that they want to play on that team. TUR17 says
also it's like if you're good enough to play on that squad, you're going into a squad that's gonna win. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or at least play good enough to win.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Thiago TUR17 said Thiago is a joy to watch. He's a great player. And the squad. That's why I think Liverpool will probably win the whole thing, just simply because their bench is crazy. The bench is just too good. Okay. All right. What else do we have left? Anything?
Well, hold on. Someone asked, you know, what should they do with Pogba? I think you got to keep a guy like Pogba. No, like even I think Maguire said something like really positive about his defensive work. Even though they either drew against Wolves. Like the guy's got a bunch of skill. Look, he's probably going to leave out anyway because everyone's saying like, where does he want to go? Like the rumor is, where does he want to go? Mm-hmm. Which generally means he's going to leave. But if I were Manchester United, I would do everything in my power to keep him because the guy's got so much skill left. The guy's got a ton of skill, and he's one of those people that clearly can play defensively. But you want him going forward. He's if they were smart enough to play him as a regista. You know, like a midfielder who lays back a little bit and can sort of ping some creative balls. And you have Bruno Fernandes who can run forward and be that more attacking midfielder. I think that's a 1-2 punch that's going to be hard to come by anywhere else in the league.
I mean, they sort of are doing that already. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't know what the exact issue is with Pogba. I'm going to assume it's like off the field stuff. He's not. Look, I don't watch Manchester United and feel like Paul Pogba is the weak link and why the team is not scoring more or functioning or what. It's not him. He's great. I think he's. I think he does his job. Does he make a mistake one or two times per game? Maybe. Does he get a little too crafty and try to? He takes risks. But also Bruno Fernandes. He says this. He's
a nutcase.
He says that he's like I make passes and I take chances and if I lose the ball I lose the ball. So you know, but then you have those moments of brilliance when everything kind of works out and works his way. So it's maybe Manchester United are looking a little bit more unorthodox than we're used to seeing, but you can't argue with results. They play well. I mean, I just watched the game that they played in the Carabao Cup against Everton, and they were great. They were a wildly dominant team for pretty much like 85 minutes.
They're okay. Good. You want to talk about this? Someone said, who should Arsenal consider signing for weeks and then not sign anyone? And I think the name that first comes to mind, besides it being a great quote, I can't remember who said it, but absolutely hilarious. I think the idea that Arsenal want to sign Diego Costa is a great move. And I know I'm the only Arsenal fan who thinks so.
Yeah. Diego Costa announced that he's going to terminate his contract with Atletico.
They did. They terminated the contract. It's all done.
Yeah, so he's free to go wherever he wants. And who wants? Is this a lottery to win a grenade? Or what? How do we feel about it?
Think about it. The guy has an edge to him, which Arsenal desperately need. I love Aubameyang, but as a captain, like, he doesn't have, he's too chill of a dude to be your captain. I'm not saying Diego Costa becomes the captain, but you need a goon. You need someone with, like, an energy. You need someone with a chip on their shoulder. You need someone who can take a team that's not playing well and light a fire under them, you know, start a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll make the fights in training fun. Tell me about it, right? It's not just Ceballos punching David Luiz. Now someone's biting, you know?
It would be, look, any team he goes to, I think would, especially going back to the Premier League, would be entertaining. I'm surprised it didn't work out in Atletico. I mean, he's good at what he does. I mean, that's.
Dude, think of the next North London derby would be Diego Costa versus Mourinho. Head games. You know what I mean? Like, the attitude to be perfect.
Really? A player versus a manager? You think that?
No, I mean, that's how it would be, like, promoted. You know what I mean? It would be like, who could get the edge mentally on the other, you know? Is it Mourinho's, you know, press conferences and his tactics on the sideline, leaving before the match is over? Is it Diego Costa getting under the skin of everyone on Tottenham? Like, that's the kind of shit you need.
I mean, look, do we need it?
Yes, like, I'm an Arsenal fan. The answer is yes, Arsenal, we need it.
I don't know. It might lead the team into more disarray. I don't know.
Disarray? Wait, we're in disarray already.
But I said more disarray.
But look, I mean, I feel like we've hit the peak. We're good.
Look,
Xhaka does have some intensity, but he doesn't get people to foul him. He doesn't make it look like people fouled him. Xhaka just goes out and mushes people in the face.
My issue with the way that Arsenal plays, they would have to change the way they play. They do not really play.
Not true.
Look, they play with a bit of a faster number nine. You know, Lacazette is a bit faster than Diego Costa. They don't really play hold-up play that much, even though Lacazette is decent at it.
You can play it around Diego. You can have Diego just simply sit on the shoulder of the defender and tuck in your wide players a little bit. It's not perfect, but I do think he makes a great option. Okay. David Luiz ain't perfect for any of them what we're talking about, and he's still here.
It would be interesting. I would love to see it simply for the entertainment value, because, you know, it would lead to a lot of just absolute madness. But will he make Arsenal a better team? Will they score more goals? That's really the main question.
The man switched from Brazil to Spain to go play in a World Cup.
He was the first Hilaria Baldwin. Let's be real now.
It's fact. Okay. But the World Cup was happening in Brazil. He went back to his own home country, played for a different team. This is the man you want.
He's like, oh, I don't know how to say this in Portuguese. How'd you say it?
Yeah. Cucumber?
Oh my goodness! So, look, I'd watch it. Look, I'm here for it. Let's do it. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, there was a couple other things. Obviously, we talked about. Saka. Did you see the Saka goal? Speaking of Arsenal,
I did see the game. I saw the goal.
So I just think this is funny. He put on Twitter. He said, saw him off his line. And he put the eyes emoji and the wink emoji. Who cares if you saw him off the line or not? Thank you for that beautiful goal. You take that goal.
Yeah, that was the I can put it up on screen right now. This was obviously him celebrating the goal.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, saw him off his line. Obviously, it was a cross, and it went right into the top corner. And
it was beautiful. That should be a highlight for any team. Bukayo Saka, absolutely incredible player. Someone said he's the best defender we have on the team, he's the best midfielder we have on the team, and now he's the best forward we have on the team.
What position does he actually play?
He plays a split between, he's essentially a winger. He plays a split between a right back and a right midfielder, more of a winger going back and forth. Yeah. I really don't want to see him as a right back, but basically he can play it.
Because I saw him as a fullback once, and I'm like, what is this? I thought he was a winger.
Yeah, I mean, when you play the three-man back line, he is the fifth. He's over there. But one of the things that I love about, Emil Smith-Rowe, Saka and what's his name, Martinelli now being back, is there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for Arsenal fans. Obviously, two wins in a row changes a lot going into the new year. But there is a little bit more of a light at the end of the tunnel where you're looking at this and you're saying, like, you know what? Arsenal isn't in as dire straits as it felt like we were 3-4 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of Martinelli, he is it's good to have him back, right? He really adds a different level of energy up top. He gets angry when he does not score. He's really like,
yeah,
he's brought, like, he's clearly frustrated with the recent results. And, you know, Arsenal are lucky to have him back because he's doing well.
Honestly, he's giving me a little bit of that attitude that I want to see that I'm not really seeing from Aubameyang. And I love Aubameyang, but the dude just seems a bit more distraught of not scoring, like disappointed he didn't score versus angry he didn't score. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And that free kick from Xhaka was pretty good too.
Insane. I did not expect it. I still don't believe it happened, you know, but I'll take it.
Ginger26 said, Fulham has a few COVID cases and league considering pausing season for 2 weeks. So that's an interesting thing. And this COVID is going to make the Premier League take the Bundesliga break. You know what I mean?
Yeah, finally. No more. Well, they did their Boxing Day matches. They're good, right?
Yeah.
They don't care now.
Everton's match against, who were they playing? Man City. That got postponed because of COVID cases. And the UK has like that new strain of coronavirus that
70% more
transmissible,
more trans-
or yeah. infectious.
Infectious, yeah.
And so, yeah, no, yeah, not fun. And, you know, whatever. People were escaping the United States and be like, oh, okay, it's safer in Europe. And Europe was like, wait, hold up. One minute.
We just had our first case of it in the U.S., so it's days before it spreads out here.
Glancer25 said, will this break help Leeds?
Let's go to the tape. Don't say that because you know they're going to come for you in a tweet in like 6 months.
So everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another fun Prem show. Again, if you're listening to this podcast, I'll be live on Twitch every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Come hang out with us. Come see Nutmeg. Nutmeg, he's still in his crate.
Hopefully there he is.
Yeah, he has a paw sticking out. He's chilling.
He's saying what's up.
Everybody, thank you so much. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you leave a review if you're listening to this podcast. Leave a review on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app. Let people know about it. If they are fans of comedy, they are fans of the Premier League, make sure to let them know to tune into this show. We really appreciate it. We want 1,000 people in here flooding the chat with some wild nonsense, with some dick bot. Okay,
absolutely. Just roasting us for every light mistake we make.
We need it. You keep us sharp. All right.
Hell yeah.
So everybody, thanks again for tuning in. Happy New Year again. We said this on the other podcast as well. Have a good, safe New Year. You're listening to this on New Year's Eve. If you're listening to a soccer podcast on New Year's Eve, you're the type of people we like. All right.
Board Martin put shouts to Nancy. Justin Freeberg said hashtag prayers for Nancy. AussieAB said dancing Nancy's. Chip was taken said hashtag prayers for Nancy. I love you guys. I'm gonna now find Nancy's information and message her an apology for something I didn't even do.
Okay. You definitely, yeah. Although you gotta apologize for something you didn't do, otherwise you will be canceled for something you didn't do. So everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Have a good new year. Again, stay safe.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Twitch.com.
Okay. Don't catch COVID. Please don't catch COVID. We don't want any more people getting this shit. It's super ridiculous and frustrating, and it's not
Please.
A fun experience. So, okay. I think that's it. Thank you, everybody here on Twitch, for all the subs, all the gifts, all the follows. Thank you. We appreciate it. Again, let people know that we do this and tell people to join in. Obviously, we have a really good time doing this. So
thank you for spending the last few hours of the year with us. A horrific year, and we hope for a lot better stuff. And we want to come and get to the point, hopefully next year, where we can, hang out with you guys, you know?
Hold on. I just, our mod, Colo Blanco, tried to create a command for Dickbot, and it keeps saying there's an error that's occurred because you can't use the word dick in
is that it, or did he automate it to say that with the sarcasm face?
No, an error has occurred. I assume you can't do that, right? I could be wrong.
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. We'll sort that out later. Everybody, thank you so much. Justin Freeberg said, "Y'all got to come back to Philly so I can finally grab a beer with you." Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. And I hope 2021 is the year where I don't know how, but we can finally start doing some live events again and come out and hang out with y'all. That would be the best.
Yeah, we're hoping sooner rather than later. Again, shouts to Freddie Alarcón. Thank you so much for the drinks, making the show. It's a drunk prem show. So again, yeah, happy new year. We love you. Thank you so much for riding with us in this ridiculous year. We appreciate whether you're listening to this, everybody here on Twitch. It means the absolute world. It's been a challenging and difficult year for us, for a lot of people. It's been a lot of pain, a lot of loss. And the fact that we get to continuously do this and still share in some laughs, and you make us laugh as well. So we thank you so much for doing that. And we'll just keep this going for next year. So
and we should do this on every show, but Chip was taking funniest comment in the chat this time.
Okay.
It was absolutely amazing.
All right. You're gonna make the chat very competitive.
That's what we want, baby. Blood, sweat, and tears, my G.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good new year. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together with Nutmeg, what are we?
The Cooligans!